Hello, everybody, and welcome to the latest edition of the Black Spin Global podcast. I'm Eugene.
And I'm Lucy.
And yeah, guys, welcome to the latest edition of the show. How are you doing, Lucy?
I'm great. It was my birthday last week.
I was going to say, happy belated, indeed.
Thank you. This month has just been great. Like, honestly.
Blessings,
like,
on blessings on blessings.
Honestly, so I'm in a perfect mood. I'm in a great mood. What about you?
Yeah, same. So, exactly. Like, we've got tennis back. Mm-hmm. Now men's tennis and women's tennis, obviously.
Now it feels more back than
which we're, exactly, which even gonna, before. Which we're going to get into. So, yeah, no complaints at all from my end.
And also we had something so great happening.
Of course,
you know, Eugene doesn't like to. He likes to keep it humble. I don't know how many times I have to remind this guy. Like, we need to like let people know who we are. Like, you're not on our level at this moment. Just know that. And the reason why I'm saying that is because some of you might know this if you follow me on IG. And one day I was sleeping and I woke up and I checked my phone like everyone does. Like, first thing you do is pick up your phone, right? And then Eugene was like, Lucy, check this out. And guys, it's a screenshot of Serena Williams. Yes, the Serena Williams, not a fan page, not a fake page. Serena Williams sharing a post from Black Spin Global. It's a picture of her and her sister on her story, which, can I remind you guys, that she barely ever does. So clearly, no one can tell me, Eugene, anything. She knows us. Serena knows my existence. Like, she probably heard my disgusting voice. It doesn't matter. But she knows us.
Sure, your voice ain't disgusting.
She knows us.
No, it was, yeah, crazy. Like, what a time. And that literally happened the weekend you were away. So
yeah, literally, I was in France, minding my own business, waiting for my birthday. That was the best birthday. Literally, my birthday was that happened like a day before my birthday, and I was just like, I couldn't scream, but I was screaming inside because my friend was sleeping. But I am so happy. Like, the fact that we started this pod, like,
it's mad.
In the middle of
just before like the whole pandemic,
literally, like, and we're doing all of this. Like, look at us. That's why I say you guys are not on our level. So if Eugene want to act humble, that's his problem. But all I'm saying is, not every day Serena shares your posts. And Serena, I love you all my heart.
Shouts out to Serena Williams.
I love you so much.
Indeed.
Like, so much. I mean, it hurts.
we're gonna get into that whole, because that was on the Top Seed Open, that post. So yeah, we're gonna talk about that later on. But first things first.
So if you're a normal listener, you know that normally we drop interviews in the middle of the pod, but this is a big one. So I was like, you know what? Let's just move it up. So we fortunately were able to get an interview with the one and only Zach Evenden, who is the coach of Francis Tiafoe, guys. Like, this is big. I'm so happy that we're able to bag this. And you know what? I'm never going to talk. Let's just get into it and enjoy it. And again, thank you very much, Zach, for this opportunity.
How are you doing, like, in terms of like COVID? Because obviously I know TFO, he tested positive, was it last month?
Yeah. I'm doing well, thankfully. Good. And when he caught it, I wasn't with him at the time. We were actually in Florida for 4 weeks and I drove down. We practiced there. And then he went to Atlanta with his brother.
Okay.
And I went and I came back to DC. So I actually always planned to miss that event in Atlanta. So I didn't catch it with him, fortunately.
Good. So you've basically been corona free then, like, throughout this whole period?
Yeah, thankfully. Good. I mean, up until this moment.
yeah, of course. And like, how have you found lockdown in general as well? Because obviously, you know, things kind of shut down. It was like early March. How did you like adapt, basically?
It got crazy quite quick, actually. You know, when we came back here after Indian Wells, we just tried to scrap for as much equipment as we could. And you know, luckily where we live here in DC, there's a parking garage downstairs.
Okay.
And so we would just go and set up shop everywhere and get busy, created circuits every morning, pretty much. You know, so we just kept each other going. There was a huge, you know, sense of togetherness.
Yeah.
So that kept us going and that kept us motivated. That was what we looked forward to every day.
Cool. And now, like, kind of getting, we're going to go back and forth a bit. So just, yeah, bear with me. But you're actually born and bred in London. Like, so how like did you kind of get into tennis in the first place? Because I understand you went to Florida A&M college. You played college tennis there. But like, yeah, if you talk about your early days, like, what are your like early memories of tennis, basically?
Grew up, born and raised in London, lived in Wembley for pretty much my whole life. And my dad, he always wanted me to play tennis. For me, it was mainly football. In the beginning, and we had I was part of a football team back in the day, and we actually did very, very well. I also played for Brent at one point.
Oh, what was it? What position did you play?
Right wing.
Okay, so quick.
Yeah, I tried to be. So that was fun. That was my passion growing up, early days. And then, you know, at one point after one trial went bad or something like that, I think he said, look, that's what you're going to get in a team sport. You need to play tennis.
Mm.
And then from there, I kind of, you know, let him win on that one. And we set off on a different path.
So did you have like a love for tennis then? Or was it really your dad that kind of like introduced you to it?
No, at the time I didn't have a love for it, but I was a huge competitor. So when he takes me to tournaments and then I'm getting beaten by guys who I don't even think are athletic, then it really, really annoyed me. So at that point I had to go and get busy.
So yeah, like now talking about your college career, like obviously that's a pretty high level. Like, I'm just gonna say Florida, that's a D1 school.
So I went to junior college first.
Okay.
And spent 2 years there at Cowley Junior College. Was a great experience. Obviously I had to go there for academic reasons, I think.
Okay.
In the beginning. And then, you know, to get eligible, you know, the rules are always changing. So that caught me off guard a little bit going to college. And then transferred there to Florida A&M and spent my last 2 years there.
And how was like the level in terms of competing? Like, was it like a completely different kind of experience as opposed to being, you know, in the UK, like playing out in the States?
Yeah. Well, from what I was seeing, it was completely different. You know, just a completely different atmosphere, a completely different makeup altogether. You can't really even compare it, to be honest, to, you know, playing for university in England. It's just completely different altogether. You know, the following, the support from the fan base and the city, you know, the whole city really takes you in.
Yeah.
So it is really, really, you know, overwhelming at first, and then you kind of get used to it. But the level was really good, and I was actually lucky to transfer into Florida A&M with a couple of my opponents that I played against in junior college.
Okay.
And they were my friends. They went to junior college as well. That was Salif Kante, Admire Mashonga. They were on my team at Florida A&M as well.
Okay. And like, so with Florida, do you live in Florida now? Like, is that where you reside? Or
I was living there, and then I moved to DC in November.
Okay, so I guess you can say you kind of fell in love with Florida then, like whilst you were at college.
Yeah. No, I did. I everyone loves Florida.
Yeah.
But you know, the weather is great. It's a huge tennis state, so you know it was tough not to be drawn to it.
Yeah. Would you say like your aspirations, like whilst you were there, like did you kind of aspire to kind of make it onto the tour, or like was it just literally just there for the experience and just, you know, just take things as they come?
Yeah, I guess, you know, you try and tell yourself you want to make it to the top and everything. So, you know, you always, you know, think about it, even if you're, you know, not close to it at certain moments.
Yeah.
You know, so you always work towards that, you know, and hope that an opportunity comes along.
Okay. And now, like, into your coaching. So, obviously, Francis Tiafoe is the guy you look after. How did that, like, relationship, like, come about and, like, start? Like, if you can, like, take us back, basically, to the beginning.
Yeah, well, basically, I mean, tennis world is quite small, you know. So, you know a lot of people through passing. And, you know, as I went and coached in California for about 3 years, you know, he would come over and play the challenges out there. And you know, as he came over, we would, you know, just talk a little bit more. You know, I would show a little bit more interest in his matches, and you know, just casually, just talking, you know, just talking before and after matches. And then it just grows. And then, you know, he went and played Fed at the US Open 2017.
Yeah.
You know, I just went there and supported from a distance. And after that, he went to Orlando. And I was already set to go to Asia. Okay. With another player, actually. And I spent some time with him after the you know, his match with Fed. And Hurricane Irma came and hit Florida. So then he had to fly back up to DC and start training again and to prepare before Asia.
Okay.
And he had no one to train with at the time. So he called me and he said, hey, you know, what do you think about coming up for a training week in DC? And I said, all right, cool, I'll be there tomorrow. And then we spent a week together training, hitting the track, and it was great. And then in the end, I ended up not going with the player I was originally planned to go with. And Francis at the time said, hey, you know, you may as well come with me. You've already got your visa sorted. Let's go.
So it kind of started off as like a, you can say like a friendship pretty much. Like,
yeah, that's exactly what it was. Yeah. You know, that was completely, it was just like a friendship, you know. And I was just trying to help motivate him in every way and help him train.
Yeah.
And, you know, be there.
Because at the time when you first started working with Francis, was he was top 100, wasn't he?
Yeah. Was
just inside.
He had just broke the top 100.
Okay.
So, you know, that past clay court season, he killed it. I think he won, that was the one he won in Sarasota. And he killed a bunch of challenges.
Yeah.
And, you know, really pushed.
Because he won his first ATP title in Delray Beach, and that was in 2018. And that was obviously whilst you were working with him. And I want to say his best year to date. I don't know if you can probably tell me if you don't agree, but I would say last year, 2019, is probably his best year to date, because that's when he broke the top 30. Got to the Australian Open quarterfinals as well. What would you say, like, in the time you've worked with Francis so far, like, what have been the kind of highlights for you?
There's been a lot of highlights, and there's never a dull moment with Francis. It's always a great time. Delray was just absolutely, you know, it left us both speechless. Delray, that was phenomenal. And just who he beat in that tournament, and at the time, you know, we had Delpo, who is just the man on any day, you know, and then you had Hyung Chung, who had just had his run in Australia, and he had made every quarterfinal that year so far. And then we had to play Shapo, you know, and he even had to come back after finishing late that night against Chung, come back and finish it. Then played Shapo that evening, and then we had to play Peter in the final. Wow. It was just unbelievable back to back, and just like the events and how it came about.
Yeah,
that was for me and will always be the number one, because it was the beginning.
Of course, yeah. And what about Australia? Like, because I think that was, I'd say it's up there, winning on his birthday as well.
Yeah, Australia is 100%. That's got to be second, if not close behind.
Okay.
Or even tying with Del Rey, to be honest. Yeah. It was unbelievable feeling to do that, and just to see him go out there and push his body to different limits.
Also, I think it's also, I want to talk about the next gen finals, because that was at the end of last year. And I remember watching that closely, and I was kind of like taken aback by the on-court coaching, because obviously that's not something that's allowed like on the ATP tour, but we see it quite a lot on like on the WTA tour. As a coach, like, do you think that's like needed? Like, do you think it's a good thing to kind of have, or do you think it's probably something we shouldn't really like include in the game?
It just depends on what your mindset is for tennis. You know, it depends how you envision where tennis is going. You know, do we want to try and keep, you know, tennis traditional? And if so, you know, we hold tennis to the highest standard, you know, as I do personally, which is, you know, tennis is one of the toughest sports out there, because it's all mental, you know, it's all mental and it's all physical, and it's just man on man. You know, me personally, I would like to leave it like that, but then obviously you gain an edge, right? But I definitely have liked thinking of tennis as one of the special sports because of that reason.
Okay.
That you are out there by yourself. So me personally, I would have to side with that.
What about like on the entertainment like side? Because it kind of gives the fans like a different like take, like in terms of like watching players and their coach like interact. Like, would you say there's an argument there or not really?
It definitely is, and it definitely, you know, draws it, you know. Obviously, as a coach, when, you know, you watch the WTA tournaments on TV and you're always interested to hear what the coach is saying and then if it's going to work and if you can see it translate straight away, you know, it's going to bring the fans, I think, closer to the game, you know, which is a good thing.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And yeah, like kind of coming into this year now with Francis, so we kind of touched on the whole COVID thing. But yeah, the start of the year, he played some challenges in the States. Did he get to, was it a quarter final he got to in, I forgot where it was now.
Dallas,
sorry, yeah, that's it. And yeah, just that experience, like, because obviously from being inside the top 100 to kind of, I guess that's the game in terms of, you know, you're up and down, like you've got to be consistent, otherwise, you know, it kind of changes very quickly.
Yeah, it does.
How do you manage to kind of like keep giving like perspective, basically? Just because obviously, like I said, it's like an ever changing thing, like consistency is key. Like, what do you do? If you could just answer that.
Yeah, so it's, you know, I mean, Francis, he is, you know, Francis is a quite a humble person. Genuinely, you know, anyone who knows him knows that, you know, he never classifies himself higher than anyone. So, you know, it's not like he's got to really do a lot to go back down to a challenger. It's, you know, his personality allows him to do that a lot easier than others may. But, you know, even before Delray in 2018, after Australia, you know, main draw there, we went back and played Newport and Dallas Challenger then. Before we went to the New York Open and made quarterfinals before Delray title week. So it was something that, it's something that is always at the back of your head if you don't get off to the best start.
Yeah.
You know, you can always just drop down, you know, if you don't think you're above it and, you know, you want to go down, maybe try something new. It's always good to have that open-mindedness and, you know, luckily we have that if we need it.
No, of course. And yeah, like again with this year, like, it's been a, I guess you could say, most unusual with the whole pandemic. But I guess we can't really like fade away from, you know, what's going on with the whole Black Lives Matter movement. I actually wrote a piece about like, Francis Tiafoe's video, the Rackets Down, Hands Up campaign that he did, which I thought was really powerful. And I was disappointed, like personally, I was disappointed with like the ATP and WTA's like lack of like, engagement or willing to engage with the post and the video as a whole. If you can just talk a bit about like, well, yeah, that whole like process and like the video as well, because you featured in it as well.
I did, yeah.
How did you find that?
Well, you know, I'm always talking to Francis about being powerful, but this was actually his girlfriend's idea. This was her idea. She was the one behind this, and it was great, and it was really, really powerful. And at the time, it was perfect timing too, especially who he got in the video as well. You know, it was really quite bold.
Yeah.
You know. It's great, and you know, obviously, you know, Francis definitely feels like he, you know, is the one who's gonna be wearing that cape and joining that cause. Yeah. So you know, that's something definitely he feels passionate about, and I'm sure we'll see more of.
Because you were on the you went to a protest in, was it June that you?
Yeah.
How did you find that, like in terms of being out there, like in the mix of it, in the thick of it?
It's unbelievable, actually. Like, you know, to actually see it and feel and see people walking with you of all races.
Yeah.
You know, when you actually get out there, it's, you know, it's not just black people. It's actually everyone who's out there, and just to be out there. And honestly, I didn't actually do a lot of screaming, because I was actually just observing everyone and just seeing who was out there and just taking it all in. And it was quite overwhelming, actually.
Yeah. I guess now we can kind of all be relieved that tennis is kind of coming back slowly but surely. So on that, Francis is playing in the Cincinnati or Western and Southern Open. That's due to kick off literally days from now. It's Monday, so I think it's Saturday that kicks off. Was there any kind of like reluctance to like resume playing again, like in the States, like considering like cases are, well, you know, I guess there's still, the numbers are quite high basically, but yeah, was there any kind of reluctance on TFO's part, or like yourself, like maybe he should maybe sit out and maybe look to play in Europe instead, or was the US Open always going to be a go-to?
If there was ever a tournament here in America, he was always going to play. You got to take what you can get given at this moment in time. Especially, everyone's all on an even playing field right now. Especially being here, because we don't know if Europe's going to happen. So at the end of the day, you know, they're all competitors and they're all waiting for, you know, competition to resume, and, you know, no one wants to give up an edge. So I'm pretty sure that, you know, him along with a lot of other players, if a tournament opens up and they can get to it, they're going to play.
So after the US swing then, will you guys be heading to, well, it's Italy and then France for the French Open?
We definitely plan on heading over to Europe after.
Oh, fantastic. Lastly on TFO, so I also saw that Wayne Ferreira has also come on board to join the coaching team. And that was at the start of this year. Was it February or just before the whole lockdown? So like how's that kind of working out in terms of like the dynamic?
Oh no, it's been great. It's been great. You know, I'd had a lot of conversations with Wayne. When I saw him in the previous year, we started to get a little close to him. Francis and Marin would always practice, and that was who Wayne previously worked together. Okay. We'd had some good practices in the past and some good conversations. So it wasn't like he was new to me coming in, but a great addition to the team. He was someone that we were looking for, you know, someone with that experience who's been there at the top.
He was a top 10, wasn't he?
Top four.
Okay.
Reach number four. Huge and very underrated, I think, in terms of, you know, his career and what he did. So he's been in a lot of pressure situations and big moments. And I felt like Francis, you know, always needed someone to help him out in that department. So great addition.
Where would you say, like, in terms of Francis, like, his favorite surface, for you, like, what would you say his best surface is?
It's tough to say. Obviously his best surface is hardcore. I think he's got unbelievable potential on clay, and even on grass. Something about the grass and how his forehand is on the grass. If all the stars are aligned, some damage could be done on grass.
No, I agree with that. But it's funny you bring up the form on the forehand. I think Francis has one of the, well, his game in general is quite unique in terms of like his technique. Would you agree with that? Like, because you don't really see some of the grips he uses. They're quite like extreme grips.
Definitely.
Like, yeah, if you can talk a bit about that, like, because, like I said, I don't think there are many players on the tour, like, that kind of play the way he does.
No. He's definitely not a forehand you want to be showing a 10-year-old kid. That's for sure. But obviously, it's the, you know, when you break it down and you look at the core fundamentals of the forehand, then, you know, that's what you got to show. What he does so well, you know, how he stays down low, how he, you know, generates from his core, those things, the follow through, how he meets it. So, you know, you got to look beyond just the technique and how he hits it. And it's the breakdown that goes into it.
Yeah.
It's important.
Was there anything that he was working on, like, during this like off period, like, was there anything he was focusing on or you guys were focusing on, like, particularly, or was it just literally just all round, like, just hitting?
You know, it was a bit of everything. You know, we're always working hard to work on things and improve, and there's, you know, so many areas he can improve on.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, fair enough. I think that pretty much wraps it up, actually, Zach, to be fair, which is a bit shorter than, like, I thought. I did see you're a basketball fan, aren't you?
Yeah, I love it.
So who's your team? Or
it's tough because I can't really say that, you know, I'm a diehard supporter of a specific team. Yeah. You know, I'm just a fan in general right now.
Yeah.
I did say I thought the Lakers were going to win it.
Same.
But now they've drawn Portland first round and anything can happen there. So
Damian Lillard with that hot hand right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be silly to bet against him right now.
No, and who's your football team as well?
Who's your team?
I'm like you, so I don't actually have a team specifically. Like, yeah. I like players. So I got into basketball quite late. So the late Kobe Bryant, he was like my idol in terms of like just watching him play, because I was just in awe of like his technique and like style. Carmelo Anthony, he's another one I really enjoy watching as well.
He's a stats man, right?
Exactly. But obviously love LeBron, like, but like you, I think Lakers are going to do it. But I mean, we'll see.
Somehow. Yeah,
we'll see. Who's your football team as well, briefly?
Arsenal.
Okay. Yeah, we'll end the conversation. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, back when I was playing football, different things were happening. Arsenal back then.
No, I hear that. Because you're 20, is it 28 or 29?
28.
That's very, very young. Like, to be a coach, like. So no, shouts out to you, man. Again, Zach, appreciate your time. And yeah, just a great chat. I say inspirational as well, because there aren't that many, if any at all, black coaches on the ATP tour. So to kind of get that insight and yeah, like your story, like a true inspiration. So yeah, appreciate you. So yeah, Lucy, I think we should now get into the roundup, which is I think just very exciting and like, yeah, just brilliant to kind of talk about proper live tennis,
not exhibition. They were cute, they were fine, they were adorable, but this is
same.
Proper tennis, not tennis from last year, tennis from now.
So yeah, I think the first thing we need to really talk about is the Top Seed Open. Mm-hmm. That took place in Lexington, Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
And that was won by Jennifer Brady, of course.
Why are you saying of course?
Because it kind of slipped my mind for a minute there.
Right. I thought you meant, of course, oh my gosh, of course she won it. I was like, excuse me.
But obviously the main like talking point from the event was the fact that Serena and Venus were both there playing.
Before we even get to that, can we actually talk about that actual draw?
Oh, of course.
No, we really need to talk about, like, I know everyone's excited about tennis coming back. I know they were all excited to come, but come on, that draw was a fraud. Like, I know what you guys were trying to do. Like, I get you trying to get everything exciting, but that draw, I was just looking at it and I was just like, why?
Because the first round was, the standout first round was Venus
and Azarenka. Yeah. I looked at it and I was like, damn.
And then they were literally in the same half as Serena. So
yeah.
Obviously played Serena and that ended up being Venus versus Serena for the 31st time.
Yeah, guys, like, relax. I feel like they definitely did it on purpose.
Lucy, I don't know about this, because draws are kind of made, like, you pick it out from the hat. Like, so no one should really know who's coming out of that hat.
I know, but you want to tell me that first round, like, really, it just reminds me of last year all over. Was it last year when we had Serena and Sharapova first round US Open?
Yeah. And also, was it Venus and Coco first round too?
Wimbledon.
And US.
But relax. If you're going to come and mess up the draws, don't make it too obvious. Just, like, do you get what I mean?
I think that's just the way it drops sometimes. Like,
I don't know, Eugene, you can think that.
But no, well, what did you make of the whole event as well? Because I thought there were quite a few, like, not stand-up moments, but like highlights for me. Obviously, Venus and Serena playing for like the 31st time, which is just mad. and the level as well. I thought
the level
was really, really good.
Especially like I was just like, whoa, like where are these new
switched up her serve?
Yeah, like she switched up her serve completely. She definitely did. I felt like even like her confidence, like, do you know what, it wasn't even, I feel like she had more fun.
Yeah, I know, I hear that.
Do you get what I mean? Yeah. And normally it's very difficult to read Venus. You don't know, like, when she's losing, she looks the same. Yeah, when she's winning, she looks the same.
She's
like,
very good at
she's
that.
Actually very good at it. And I feel like that's so great to do. But I don't know, for some reason, I just felt that I'm just enjoying. I think she's just in a point where she's like, you know what, I'm just enjoying it. And when I'm done, I'm done. Yeah. But for now, I'm here. You guys can't tell me shit. And it's like, it's a great thing to see. And I really felt that energy from her when she was playing.
Yeah, because that's what you just said about her enjoying it. She's 40 years old. And it's like, even watching her yesterday, this is recording on a Sunday, so we'll talk about, obviously, the Western and Southern Open. But, yeah, watching her, again, just post-pandemic, you can say we're in it, but, just to know she's 40 years old, it's like...
crazy.
I just find it incredible. And it's just like, what like a... it's a source of inspiration, like, for 100%. Me as a man.
No, 100%.
Like, much less women, like, kind of, do you get me seeing
100%.
That?
Because that's why, like, I'm someone, for example, I'm the type of person where I love to work. I know a lot of people, they're like, how can you say that? And I'm always like, but if you love what you do, you don't see it as a burden. You don't see it as you overworking or anything. So I feel like it's the same with Venus. I'm doing what I love and that's it. You know, it's not like she's married, she has kids. Like, you know, she has hella businesses. Which actually, she said, apparently in the interview, that she was actually super busy during the lockdown. Like, she was out here running and stuff. And even her apparel business, like, literally, is I think she signed a deal with one... Wonder Woman movie.
Yeah.
I think that's where she had this
11,
set.
The 11 by
yeah,
11.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. She's out here getting that bag. You know what I mean?
Story.
And I think even one of the exhibitions as well, I think she was also, like, her brand was also a sponsor as well. I can't remember which one because I remember seeing her logo
The World Team Tennis.
World Team Tennis. Yeah, yeah. But look at that. That's great. And you barely ever get that because all these players are all wearing, you know, other brands and stuff. And
Nike,
she's like,
Adidas,
nope, let me have my own brand. And then look, who knows when she's going to retire? You might see it everywhere in all of these places.
Straight up.
So, yeah, I was really happy to see that. I was happy to see Coco. She played really well on the first, second. I think she lost on the third round.
So she knocked out the second seed.
Yeah.
I forgot her name now, but yeah, big hitter.
She played really, really well. She was really focused.
She was incredible.
I feel like when she's on the court, like, her mind is just, you know, on the game and stuff. And to be honest with me, like, the way I see it with Coco, because she's 16, I'm like, all right. So, like, when she loses, it's not like a... Do you get what I mean?
No, I hear that completely.
Like, to me, I'm like, mate, if you're like this at 16, I don't know what you're going to even be like at 18.
Because it was Sabalenka that she beat.
Can you believe it?
And then, for me, the match after that was more incredible. So she played Ons Jabeur, the Tunisian, and was loose. So she lost the first set and then she came back and won.
Yeah, she did.
And like Ons Jabeur, she's like a really like a tricky opponent. Like, she's got all the shots and like...
Yeah.
Again, she hits quite
big. Didn't
Sabalenka
even win the tournament before she got there? Am I confusing?
Don't think, yeah. That was the first...
I think I'm confusing.
I think that was the first first tournament Sabalenka played. Like, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Post lockdown, I think I'm confusing,
But yeah, like Coco, again, like, just, she's 16 and it's just like, we kind of expect her to win, like, matches, which is just a bit wild. But
yeah.
At the same time, it's testament to, like, her... ability and like kind of talent level.
I just hope, like, that mentally she doesn't take it too bad. She needs to see it as not a lot of players at her age or even playing these players.
I think she's got like a good team around her, like her family obviously are very close and like her parents and stuff, but like I think her team in general, like they kind of keep her grounded, so I don't see any kind of issues like in that front. But yeah, again, with the top seed open, I thought one of the most significant things as well, and like we kind of spoke about this like off air, but during the tournament anyway, the obviously there's no fans in the stadium or the stands, so it's like a weird kind of like atmosphere, like kind of watching tennis like that.
Yeah.
And like a lot of the players are saying, it's like it's kind of taken them back to like their junior days, like when they were
playing,
like no one watching.
I really wonder how they feel when they're on court, though.
For me, I as a fan, like watching it on TV, like I quite enjoy it because it's like you kind of get to, you see it in like its rawest form, if that makes sense. Mm. Like, so obviously the fans add a lot to a match in terms of atmosphere and like, they don't really influence matches, but like, yeah, I guess if they're rooting for one player,
I think
more,
depending on the player,
yeah, maybe, they might, maybe
like someone like Joe COVID.
Oh God,
it might make a difference, even though we haven't seen him play yet.
Maybe, but I think yeah, watching tennis like this now, like yeah, no fans.
Like when I watch it, I forget about it. Yeah, like, I think exactly. It's because I'm just so hooked up
exactly.
on the game.
Yeah,
but I think if I was maybe a player or something, or if I was actually there physically. Then I would have been like, where is it? Because especially if it's like an intense game, because it's just like, oh. But at the same time, the one thing that I like about it, though, I hope it shows, because I feel like smaller players, I may be wrong, but I feel like a lot of smaller players kind of may feel like, this is great because now the big player's not going to get, you know.
Yeah.
But it's like, that's not the reason why they're winning. They're winning because they're actually
ability
good.
And talent,
so I just hope they don't really put that into their head and think that might be, you never know, it might be a plus for them because... I can imagine playing against Serena and everyone is cheering for her, but that doesn't happen all the time.
Because I was going to get to Serena, so everyone's saying, oh, like basically the US Open that's coming up, it might be a good thing for Serena not to have like the crowd literally there, so she'll feel like less pressured.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what I'm saying. I feel like it really depends on the player. I feel like some players, it might be a bit more... Djokovic. Or for some players, it might be a little bit more great. Do you get what I mean? Like Osaka, for example, she doesn't really like attention like that. Or even Serena, especially that she's had so much pressure since she's been back from maternity leave. So I think it just depends on who it is.
No, yeah, true story. I think the last thing I want to talk about with the top seed anyway, one of the banners, so on display at the back of the court, obviously you had like WTA signage and like top seed open signage or whatever. But yeah, Black Lives Matter, like that was a prominent kind of like sign, like behind the court and like at the side as well, you can see it.
Yep.
And I thought that was really powerful. And I instantly knew that wasn't
a WTA
thing. Yeah, because we would have seen that in Palermo the week before. And obviously that wasn't the case. So I knew that was literally the tournament's decision.
Yep.
And I think it's important. And I did mention, or I did post about the... Just finding the quote. I'm gonna edit this. Yeah, so it was the tournament director, Donia Schuhaber. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that name correctly. Apologies if I'm not. But yeah, she said it was literally the club's decision to do that.
Which we knew, but yeah.
Exactly. So, and again, everyone kind of has their own kind of idea, like as to like, oh, is it like. Is there any need to do it? And like, is it just, I don't know, what are the real
What
reasons?
Do you think, Eugene? Do you feel like...
On the spot?
Yeah, I am. Because I would love to know. I think everyone as well would love to know your opinion. But what do you think? Do you feel like it does something? Do you feel like it was pointless? Like what is it? Like, what do you think?
It's a tricky one. I'm not going to lie to you. Like, because as much as I appreciate it, I would have liked it if it had come from the ATP or the WTA in this case.
Okay.
But that's not taken away obviously from Top Seed Open.
Yeah.
And like I appreciate like the gesture, I guess you can say.
Mm-hmm.
But like yeah, like I think what we're kind of going through now is this whole like, are we kind of doing things like to show we care, like when...
Or is he just a PR thing?
Yeah, do you get me? So I don't know. And like, this is what I'm saying. Like, it's a really, what's the word I'm looking for? It's a complex, like, issue, really and truly.
Okay.
Like, I'm not doing myself. I'm going around in circles right now. The way you're looking at me.
I put Eugene on the spot. Like, literally. Guys, I wish it was a camera. You could see me. I'm just literally, my hands are crossed and I'm here looking at him. Right. Okay.
But like,
no,
what,
but I get,
what do you, what
I get
do you
what
think?
You mean. But the way I see it is, I totally agree. You know, the whole like, you know, like, oh shit, I put myself on the spot now. But you know what? I'm 50-50 because I definitely feel like some of them are doing it and they care. But I feel like if you're going to do it, do more also. Mm. So, I don't know, donate or do something. But then again, this is a... It really depends. Cause for example, this, you know, this group is like, they're a very small tournament. They probably had to reduce a lot of costs to even make that... To help that tournament run. You know, things like that. But I prefer a little bit of that than nothing. I know a lot of people are like, yeah, but you can do more, but you can do more. But I'm like... That little sign has probably pissed off so many racist people. Right. And funny enough, there were actually people pissed off on Twitter.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Girl, I remember I even caught tweet. Some girl must have tweeted like, this is tennis, not political. Why is there a Black Lives Matter sign? Like, I'm not going to watch. And I was like, then don't watch then. Yeah, no, don't watch. So that's my thing. It's like, as much as it might be a little thing or nothing to some people, it is literally pissing off a racist person, but just to show them that Black lives still matter and it always will. Mm-hmm. And you can be mad at that if you don't. And it's like, you know, we're talking about a sport where there's only white people. So to me, it's like, you know, if you have that little thing, especially for tennis, as much as this is sad and crazy at the same time, I'm still really glad at least that thing. So shout out to her, shout out to the tournament, indeed, shout out to the club, WTA, I see you.
And this is the thing, like, what you just said as well about the whole Black Lives Matter, like, in terms of what it means, like, because I think it's getting lost now in mm-hmm. the whole political thing. Like,
exactly.
The message, like, is what we should be focused on, not the political
exactly. kind of, like,
relations or, like, yeah, like, because that has nothing really to do with the issue at hand and like why the whole organization was kind of like formed in the first place.
Yeah.
So yeah, for me, like, the message, obviously I stand by that all day, like Black mm-hmm. Lives Matter and like will always matter. But yeah, I wish we kind of were at a place where we didn't have to do this. Mm-hmm. Like, but I completely understand why we're doing it, and I feel it's important for the message to be basically put out there. So
definitely.
Yeah, no, fair play. And yeah, I guess rounding up again, coming into this week now. So men's tennis kind of made a return just before the Western and Southern Open, which we're going to talk about later on. But there was a challenger event taking place in Prague, the Czech Republic. And Stanislas Wawrinka ended up winning that.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously Stan, he's not playing the US swing. He said he's not basically going to travel to the US because of COVID. So he'll be playing the French Open, and Prague, the Prague Challenger was actually a clay court event. And I think it's important. I just want to shout out Elias Yima, cause he reached the last, he, yeah, he got to the last 16. And also Jay Clark, he got to the second round, but mm-hmm. had to pull out injured, unfortunately. So yeah, like, it was just so good to kind of see tennis back, as in men's tennis back last week.
Yeah.
Seeing that was great. And also I want to talk about Naomi Osaka's chat with Mikey Williams.
Really good.
Time magazine. I posted something this morning on Instagram and Twitter, just quoting what Osaka said, actually. Because it was like basically a question and answer kind of like conversation,
yeah,
I guess, between her and Mikey Williams, who's like top NBA, or say NBA, he's like a high school college basketball prospect. He's a high school, but her, like, yeah, five star like recruit.
Mm.
But yeah, one of the quotes that I kind of took away and was like, wow, like, that's such a powerful like thing to say, when basically Osaka was asked what it's like to represent blackness, like, mm-hmm. on a global stage.
Mm-hmm.
And her quote, this is what she said. So she said, because tennis is a majority white sport, I do feel like I'm a representative. It's a very big source of pride. I feel like it gives me a lot of power, and I always feel more welcomed in certain cities. So I just thought, like, obviously we all know she's biracial, like, so she's black.
Mm-hmm.
But she never shies away from like her black side.
What I like the most about it is that she actually embraces every single culture that she's from. Like, her dad's where's he from again?
Haiti.
Mom's a Japanese. Like, she embraces even American culture, Japanese culture, Haiti, like, literally all of it.
I think on her Twitter or her Instagram profile, she's got the flags. So she's
literally, she's got Haiti, all of them. Yeah,
Japan, Haiti, and Japan, America, and America. She grew up in America.
She grew up in America, exactly. So that's what I really like. And yeah, that talk was amazing. Like, I feel, I couldn't believe it was like young, very young, two black athletes talking about how they can make a change, talking about how, you know, like, these are things that I want people in the media to pick up rather than picking up all the other nonsense. You get what I mean? Like, when I read that shit, I was like, I couldn't believe it. Like, these people are even younger than me and they're out here talking about all these stuff. Like, you know, Osaka even pointing out how she feels that some athletes are too scared to call, to speak out because of sponsors and stuff. Yeah. And she said, you know, think about me, like, majority of my sponsors are actually, like, Japanese sponsors. Mm. And that's even, it's not that easy to talk about race there, even, like, in US or UK or whatnot. And the fact that she, you know, forgotten about that, I was like, you know what, this is wrong. I still need to talk about this. I'm going to fly out to another state for me to protest with my boyfriend. Mate, shout out to her. Like, that whole interview was just really, really amazing. And, I just love Osaka, honestly. To me, I feel like she's brilliant. I like her sense of humor. She's been the same person since. And she's an amazing player. Like, no one can tell me shit. Like, she's honest to me, in my eyes, she's just great.
No, I completely agree. I think she's very, like, transparent. Like, what you see is what you get.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, I really appreciate that. Like, in a pro athlete, like, in this day and age, like, because it's not easy, like, with social media, like, you're kind of, you're an easy target, basically.
Which is what they both spoke about as well. It's like, you know, it's like, because of social media as well, we have to, you know, be a certain way, blah, blah, blah. But I like the fact that at the end of the day, she's still keeping being herself. Like, she could have changed completely after winning. Fam, imagine you're winning two slams back to back and then you're the richest. Like she could have changed all of that. But
exactly, yeah, she's
literally, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Oh, and by the way, speaking of that, 9 out of 10 of the top female, highest paid female athletes are tennis players. So, guys, again, put your kids into tennis. Forget basketball, forget netball, forget everything. Put your kids into tennis. If you've got the funds, put your kids into tennis. I'm telling you guys, there's money to be made.
I did see that earlier. But we spoke about that when it first broke.
Yeah. So,
yeah. No, indeed.
But this time, I think it was even more than before. I think last time it was only like 7 or 8. Really? Yeah, but now it's like 9.
Mm. Yeah, it's a big
number. Put your kids into tennis, guys.
It's a big number. And yeah, I think that kind of wraps up the roundup. So now we get into the Western and Southern Open, which is literally underway. And again, I said to Lucy, oh, maybe we should have put this out or recorded before the tournament started, but no biggie. Like, so yeah, like, what have you made of the event so far? Like, obviously we've had it was an indifferent day, opening different day for us.
Yeah.
It started off well with Felix Auger-Aliassime winning. Obviously he beat Nicolas Bastidas-Vili in straight sets, which is like a brilliant performance.
Yeah, at the beginning it was a bit,
it started off shaky.
But he picked it up. I feel like he was trying a bit of like new stuff that he learned before and then did it again. Like, to get what I mean? I feel like he was trying to, you know, but he picked it up and did it so well.
I think I'm pretty certain he's got like a winning record against Bastidas-Vili. So
I wasn't sure.
I think he kind of felt like, you know what, if I just play my game, I can like come through this.
Okay.
But yeah, Bastidas-Vili is he's a really like tricky player again.
Very powerful. Definitely.
But he's quite streaky. So like, yeah, he can maybe, it fluctuates. So if he's feeling it, like he'll play you off the court.
Yeah.
But then if he's not, which I think the case was yesterday, he was like maybe hitting a few wild balls and with Felix, and we spoke about this many a time, like he's so just cool and like, level-headed, doesn't really let much get to him.
Yeah.
And like, I thought that was quite a mature display yesterday, like the way he just kind of got business done.
Yeah.
So that was great to see, like the opening match. And then it was funny because Heather Watson was playing at the same time.
Yeah, I was literally like, we were both switching from one to another. And I was like, shit, but since I was smiling, I was like, I missed this.
I had the multi-screen thing going on. So like I had Heather on the iPad and then, Felix on the laptop.
I just kept, I only had, well, obviously because I only have one Amazon Prime account. Oh, okay. So I had to like leave, go back, leave. So when they're on like on a little break, I was like, right, let me go back, let me go. At the same time, I was arranging my room as well. So I was doing like so many things at once. But I loved it because it was like, yes, this is what I used to do. Yeah. And I just, yeah.
But then obviously, we unfortunately have lost that match to Bernarda Pera. And I, it was tough because she lost the first set. And then she won the second set.
The second set, yeah.
And I thought, oh, wow, like, she's got the momentum
yeah,
now.
Yeah, to be honest, after she won the second set, yeah. I thought, oh, okay, maybe
and
she
I'm
actually...
pretty sure she went up, like, a break in the third set. Yeah. So I was like, oh, good, she's got this in the bag kind of thing. But then, yeah, Pera just came nowhere. Back. Yeah, and, like, we kind of saw Pera, because Pera played Serena last week, well, the week before, at the Top Seed Open.
Mm-hmm.
And she took a set off Serena.
Yeah.
So we kind of knew that she was kind of maybe, like, feeling herself, like, knowing I can actually play, like, I'm... kind of in four, even though I lost to Serena, but I played to a good level. So it was a tough one for Heather to kind of like take as in a loss. But
yeah,
I think again, and we spoke about this again off air, like the level, like it's a completely different level playing WTA tennis to playing Battle of the Brits. Like, no disrespect to the Brits, but like this is like the top women now. Like,
well, do you know what? I feel like we also need to keep in mind that I remember tweeting this, like, I feel like we need to keep in mind a bit, like, we're going to expect a lot of issues, like, with people, like, struggling with their rhythm at the beginning, a lot of injuries.
Yeah, true.
I feel like we have no expectations now because we don't know, for example, even whether it's negative or positive, like, for example, Venus, she came with a brand new serve. Like, everyone was just like, whoa, what's going on? We also need to keep in mind in terms of, like, the negative, like, okay, some people might be dealing with this type of stuff. The court is much more faster as well on right now at the Cincy Tennis. So at the moment, it's like, it's just, and then you have to think about the time difference. You have to think, so that's the thing as well, is that she's been here for such a long time, because when she was here, she was playing really well.
Exactly, yeah.
Like, Bowder Bridge was playing, she was picking up all the points for the people on her team. Mm-hmm. So that's how when she came here, like, what I mean here, I mean like to the US, I was a bit like, okay, I feel like there's a lot like different environment. It's been a while since, like, you know, she's been in a different time zone.
Yeah.
She's playing against an American, you know, the courts are much faster. Like, we haven't been playing for a while. I think that's why I'm personally not putting a lot of like pressure. Yeah. When I mean pressure, I mean as a fan, like being so emotional to it, because it's like, we're in a whole different, you know. But in a couple of months, everyone can now go back. But, you know, this is like the basically one of the first tournaments. And it's like, we don't know what to expect. No. Like, a lot of things is going to be, you know.
No, true story. I agree completely. And like you said, like, it's a, I think results are going to be quite weird, like, for the first few, like, tournaments.
Fam, when the kids are going to go back and look at the history, they're going to be like, wait, these numbers don't add up. Like, what's going on? Like, what happened there? And it's like, yo, COVID.
But then this is what I'm saying. This is where, like, the pro athlete kicks in, because it's like, you kind of have to adapt to your new kind of, like, surroundings, basically.
Yeah.
So you're going to kind of get the... This separates, like, the weak from the strong, if that makes sense.
But that's why a lot of the top players were like Djokovic and, I actually say Djokovic a lot of time now. This is so bad. But him and Serena actually talked a lot on, like, saying that, you know, this is our new norm now. Like, we just need to adapt. And I feel like everyone in general kind of has that. Even me, myself, someone who was scared to even leave my house to go and buy food during, like, lockdown and stuff. I've literally said to myself, you know what? This is literally our new life now. We just have to just be more careful when we're out. Wear your mask, you know, just, do you know what I mean? Yeah, like, exactly. Just do what you have to do. Like, we can't, it's been like months now. And, you know, all these reports are coming out saying that this is going to be out for, like, I don't know how many years. Mm. So at the moment, the only thing that we can do is see how you can, you know, do this in the safest way, which is what these tennis players and tennis organizations are doing, which is doing really good.
Definitely.
And just moving on and praying to God that, you know, or drink some of your COVID, can buy a water.
So we're not going to go into that. I also want to say we need to talk about Coco. So she played Maria Sakkari.
Yeah.
I think she was she's seeded. I don't know what seed she is, but she's seeded.
Yeah.
So that was always going to be a tough opening round match for Coco.
Definitely.
And she lost in straight sets.
To be fair,
I wasn't that surprised, to be completely honest.
Well, me, it's not about being surprised. I've got to keep it to Virgil's guys.
Let's go.
I have to say, I did not really mind her losing simply because I really don't want a Serena versus Coco yet. Because if she won and then she won a second round and then Serena won a second round as well, that would be the third round, Coco Serena.
Wow. Okay. So in the same half. I'm not actually looking at that, but okay.
Yeah. Are they the same?
I don't know.
Am I chatting? No, yeah. No. No, yeah. They would have been round three.
Okay. Yeah. I would not have liked to have seen that. Definitely. Yeah.
And I'm not saying I don't want to see it. I want to, just not now.
I hear that.
Because you guys were hella annoying with Venus, and I am not in the mood. So, I don't mind, but Coco, you got this.
And then, again, it's great because obviously we just spoke to his coach, Francis Big TFO.
Yep.
Against Andy Murray, which is, again, that's
that was a tough one really, for me, really guys. Difficult. Because anyone that knows me knows that I love Sir Andy Murray. And I love TFO as well. So,
and again, shouts out to Sir Andy because he did like a Q&A like with his like fans on
Instagram. On IG, yeah.
And one of the questions, I think it got a lot of like press, but someone asked him, like, who's the GOAT, like in your opinion? And one word answer.
Serena. Literally, all
this
is just Serena. Next.
So we love Andy, man. Like, shouts out to Andy. But again, that match against
that match was a really good match.
TFO, like, the level, I was really impressed.
Because, a lot of smart shots.
Oh,
from him.
Man, like, and with TFO too. Don't forget, he's coming back from he had COVID. So
oh, yeah, that's true. So, I completely forgot about that. Yeah, that's
like,
true.
I thought to myself, you know what? For him to kind of exert himself the way he did, and like. Again, Andy Murray is up there with, you know, Federer, Nadal. He's literally in that category. Mm-hmm. Like, he's one of the best in this, like, day and age. Obviously, he's been really unlucky with injuries, the whole hip thing.
Yeah, the fact that he even pulled it off.
This is what I'm saying. So, but just watching that match yesterday, I was like, you know what? This level is just...
They were both so hungry. See.
Like, yeah, exactly. And like you said, you spoke about the conditions earlier, like... It's really, really hot out there.
And it got hot even as the match was going as well. It was getting hot and hot and hotter. Like, you can see both of them were exhausted.
Exactly. They were both feeling it. But then I was like, again, like, this is what we've missed. Like, as tennis fans, watching this.
Exactly.
Like, do you get me? So,
exactly.
Yeah, I know I enjoyed, like, the kind of the
battle.
That
little excitement.
Like, the kind of exchange going back and forth. Mm-hmm. Because I tweeted, actually, off my personal Twitter, I said, if... The match really should have been over after the second set because TFO had break points in the first set in that tie break. So he really should have wrapped up that tie break, to be completely 100%, honest. And then obviously he won the second set. And then, the third set kind of, the level kind of dipped a bit. I think Murray just kind of showed why he's a champion pretty much. And like the experience and like just the know-how kind of.
I think mentally as well, Murray is kind of different from everyone because everyone is... This is the first time for a lot of people that had such a long break.
Yeah.
Murray's like, fam, I've been...
He said it. Like, he's been in the gym pretty much.
Listen, hey, if anyone knows about not playing tennis for a long time, trust me, that's me. So let me show you guys how hungry I am. And it's the first time in a very long time he's been playing big players as well, like TFO. And then tomorrow he's playing who again?
Alexander Zverev.
See, and like that's, I feel that's going to be a tough. Well, personally, I think it's going to be a tough one for him as well. But again, like
I'm going to say Murray's winning that. Sorry.
Really?
Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
We'll see.
No need.
I'm looking forward to it, anyways, because again, like he's been playing. Well, I'm not saying you players don't matter, but he's been playing little players. But I do feel like, you know, like he mentally he's just in a different space because it's been a while. Like, literally last year in January, I was crying because he said that he might have to retire after Wimbledon. So seeing him here today, like, in his mind, like, his mindset is different from everyone else. So I think...
It's like a different hunger.
A different hunger, 100%. Like, everyone's hungry to come back, but he's hungry to come back from way back.
What about TFO, though? What did you make of, like, his performance? Like,
I feel like I said before, I feel like he had, like, a lot of smart moves. I feel like... To be honest, I feel like he was playing really, really well. I just feel like in some areas, some places, it was just not making. it was just not working. But again, it's been a while, man. I even forgot he had COVID. Like, he hasn't played any really matches.
I mean, he played that one exhibition in Atlanta, but then he had to pull out.
Yeah, exactly. He had to pull out. Match, so for him to, you know, he had a tough opener. And for him to actually even move the way he was moving, honestly, I feel like if he had a smaller player, he would have definitely won the first round.
And then lastly, it was Venus versus Diana
Do you know? No. Venus versus who? Venus versus who?
Yeah, blackface. Your strengths go.
There we go. Do you know what? I'm convinced that Venus did not see that post. Because if she did, I promise you, she would have put she would have worked even harder on that call.
There was a tweet. Someone tweeted it. I forgot who tweeted it. But someone said, if Yastrzemska really cares about equality.
Oh, yeah.
She would let Venus win.
Hey, I don't know who that is, but shout out to you. That tweet was hilarious. I was like,
that's crazy. But
it were hilarious.
For me, again, like we spoke about Venus a bit before, but again, like seeing her compete at 40 years old.
Amazing.
Like, I was in awe. Like, yeah. And I've never really watched Yastrzemska like that. I did see her. She played Serena, actually, last year at the Australian Open. And Serena won like fairly comfortably, and I remember she was in tears after the match, as in Yastrzemska.
Really?
Yeah, and Serena like kind of comforted her, like
really.
Yeah, the net.
I thought,
really sweet moment, actually. Yeah, but seeing.
But what's mad? Her coach is
Sasha, exactly. But seeing Yastrzemska play last night, I was like, wow! Like, I didn't know she hit so big. Like she
I think she changed it up from last year. 100%.
She's a power. She's got a powerful.
I had no idea, like, either.
And she moves quite well as well. And like, I think she's got like a really, her mindset is quite like killer. Like,
But do you know who I think that all is?
Who?
Her coach.
Okay. Yeah. Sasha Bajin.
As much as I don't like him like that.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't. Because he, you need to remember as well, he was part of William's team.
Of course.
And in my head, I feel like if you're part of William's team, that is it.
Yeah.
You
and Osaka.
And Osaka. Yeah, yeah. Remember, I was rooting for them to go back because I was like, hello, what are you doing? But then, you know, I see how the more I see Osaka getting herself out there and you see the type of person that he is, I'm like, okay, maybe there was just a lot of conflicts. And it was just like, you know, I personally think it was a thing where he was putting a lot of pressure on her and she was not liking it. Yeah. She just wanted to, you know, put her mental health first, which I honestly, after winning two slams back to back, which you don't see in a while, and breaking records and having so many sponsors, honestly, no one can tell you shit. So I get it, but I really think that blackface girl, her game changed after she bagged Sasha.
Possibly,
but
again,
we'll see anyway. But she actually got injured during the match.
Yeah,
and then she said something so stupid. She's like, I got injured in a match, but I didn't want to pull out of respect of Venus. Shut the
No, what do you mean? How's that stupid? What do you mean?
What do you mean you want to pull out? No. I feel like that's cap.
Okay, why?
I don't think she didn't want to pull out because she didn't want to lose. Hello? That simple.
Oh, right, so you're not.
She
you're
said not the, that I didn't want to pull out because I out of respect of Venus. She doesn't give two fucks about Venus. She doesn't.
I did like what she said in that post-match interview. I think she said something about how basically like it was like an honour to play like a legend of the game.
Yeah. She said all of that.
So that I'm
no, not, but so I see. Yes, all of that was cute. But I didn't like the whole out because to me that was a lie.
Okay.
You didn't want to pull out because you didn't want to lose to Venus.
So
that's
you're not saying that she was like faking injury.
Oh no! I'm not saying no. Because she was I was watching a match and I saw when that happened.
Oh, fair.
And it did look really, really painful afterwards. And her coach confirmed that it was I saw it when that happened as well. And he confirmed that it was at that moment.
Yeah.
She tripped off a little bit, and that's when it started hurting.
So yeah, that was that's first round action. In terms of seed, so we've got obviously Serena, she's seeded. As well as Naomi Osaka and Madison Keys.
I think they're both playing tomorrow.
So yeah, they all got like first round byes.
Mm-hmm.
So Serena now, she'll be playing.
Have they announced it?
Well, yeah. So yeah, because the draw is obviously
been
made.
Oh yeah, true.
So,
yeah.
She'll be playing Arantxa Rus. I don't actually know how you pronounce that name.
Let me see that.
She's from Luxembourg. Arantxa.
Oh.
So. That should be, hopefully, Serena will get
She'll
through
She'll be
that.
All right with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I think
Osaka's
so.
Osaka's getting an American girl, is she?
Osaka's going to be tough. So she's got Karolina Mukcheva, the Czech Republic, from the Czech Republic. And she, if I'm not mistaken, she beat Osaka at last year's French Open.
But we need to keep in mind, Osaka actually did say that she's been practicing. She's just been keeping it on the low. Because I was scared when I found she's coming, like, because she didn't go to top seed and everything. So I was like, oh, man. And then when I saw her interview, she was like, she literally said it herself. She's like, I haven't said it to anyone or posted on social media, but I've actually been practicing that every day. And I was like, music to my ears. Mm. So I'm so, oh, I miss her on court so much.
Man, I think everyone does.
Because she was injured towards after the China Open.
Last year? Or...
Yeah. No, after she won it at Osaka.
Okay, yeah, but this year she played Australia and lost to Goff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then she...
But what I mean was that we didn't really get a lot of her.
Yeah, I mean, the form wasn't great because then she then lost in the Fed Cup in Spain.
Yeah.
That was on clay, though.
She didn't... So yeah, clay and Osaka doesn't really go.
I mean, yeah.
I feel like hard court is her thing.
I mean, yeah, I'm expecting her to do...
Hard court, I feel like hard court is her thing. In terms of clay and grass, I think, especially grass.
Yeah.
Definitely not her thing.
I think Madison, and in Madison Keys, lastly, she'll be playing the winner of Leila Fernandez and Ons Jabeur.
I would love to see her Fernandez and Keys.
It's going to be tough. And as things stand right now, so they're literally on court right now.
How's it going?
Fernandez is winning 3-0, 3-love. So,
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
If it's a Fernandez and Keys, I am definitely watching that. And I don't really watch a lot of Keys matches.
I'm gonna edit that out, but
oh my god,
unreal.
I'm just sorry.
So yeah, I think it's just great to have tennis back, Lucy, man.
Yep.
Who's Felix playing? Tennis Sandrin.
By the way, ATP and WTA, please change your blood clot app. It is 2020. Your app is looking like it's 2002. I don't understand. Look at the quality of this. Like, I don't get it. Like, this is just ridiculous. With all the tennis money that you guys are getting, please treat your fans with respect.
You're talking about the scores app.
Yes, it is two packs of arse. Like, basic. What is this?
It's pretty basic. I hear that.
Gosh.
But yeah, I think that wraps up this episode, Lucy. So...
Oh man, we have to wait till like 2 weeks.
But no, man, listen, it's great. It's great. Tennis is back, man. And like, yeah, we've got so much to look forward to. Like, obviously, all the players like in New York at the moment in this bubble environment. And like, yeah, like, it's just nice kind of seeing everything.
I kind of wish I was in there.
Oh man.
It looks
incredible.
Like, it looks fun. Like, just the players.
Table tennis and like,
yeah.
It's like this football, like, snooker thing, which looks incredible.
How do you feel about big players renting their own like houses and stuff, yeah, rather than,
because like, that's something I want to talk about, like, for the US Open. But no, like, I'm not at all like against it. Mm-hmm. Like, and if anything, I just wish more players like kind of had the access or the capabilities to do,
because
that.
Djokovic said something really ignorant, in my opinion. That just sounded like a Djokovic hate.
I didn't want to talk about Djokovic this podcast. I did not want to talk about Novak.
Hey, Lucy, come on, this is a black spin global. But he did say something a bit, like, I don't like how he said I think he was preparing himself from like getting attacked from doing so.
You're talking about the New York Times interview he did.
No.
Oh.
Like, they were, like, he was just saying how, oh, everyone had the choice to rent, like, go have their own place while they're using the hotel.
He said
that on the interview.
During the interview, yeah.
Oh, I thought that was during the tournament.
Pretty sure
and
he
stuff,
said that.
Yeah.
In, yeah.
But when he said that, I was just like, I literally quote tweeted it, like, it was too many who actually even tweeted it, and okay. I was like, yeah, but with what money, fam? What do you mean choice? No one, ain't nobody got choice. That's why the only people, guess who even said that was expensive?
Who?
Andy Murray.
So if Andy
is telling you, bear in mind, this guy has in prize money is like, what, 60 something million?
Yeah, stupid.
If he's saying it's expensive, do not come and tell me it's by choice.
Some people are just more economical than others, isn't it? Like,
I really want to know the price now, because if Andy's saying, bro, this is a lot of money, but then, you know, obviously that's nothing to someone who's Serena and, you
course,
know, Novak.
Exactly. No, indeed. I think I hate watching other people's money. Like, that's something I stand by. So
really?
I just,
for the players. I mean, personal, yes, but players.
To me,
that's that motivates me.
I don't like it. Even talking about, like, Naomi Osaka being, like, the highest paid, like, it's just, I find it very uncomfortable.
Really?
I love it. And, like, I
This is why
it.
I always say Eugene is so humble.
Stop it. But, like, no, man, money's a personal thing.
No, it is.
So,
but I feel like if you're an athlete,
yeah, that's
it's
what
a
I'm
lot
saying. It's
because
out there, like, and like I said, back to when we did speak about Osaka, the fact that she like, I think she tweeted or retweeted a tweet basically acknowledging the fact that she's the highest paid female athlete.
That's true. You know, she, like, never really actually...
That's what I'm saying. So the fact that she felt comfortable doing that, I was like, fair play. Like, we can talk about that. So, yeah.
Wait, so if she didn't retweet, you wouldn't have talked about it? I would have forced you anyway. They'd be like, anyway, so we'll put in this as well because we're not missing that point. A young black woman is like the highest paid female athlete ever.
It's huge.
Please.
It's huge. But no, I think, like, what you just said about the whole bubble thing, like, it's so many, like, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? But this whole COVID thing, we're in a place now where, like, we don't know what's going to happen.
That's why everyone's going to be,
like, extra cautious and take all, like, the relevant precautions and stuff. And it's just great to see players, like, willing to, you know, take the risk, basically. And, yeah, like, it would be... I've got no, like, qualms of players feeling, you know, it's unsafe for them to play. Like, fair play.
I feel like those players decided not to go.
Because
so
obviously a lot of players...
I don't blame them. I'm not going to lie. Especially that it's in America. I feel like if it was in Europe, I think there would have been a lot more players.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, I think, again, with a lot of, like, the players that have decided to go, again, hats off, because you're taking a risk. Like,
yeah.
And, like, yeah, you're kind of... It's obviously for your own, you know, that's your livelihood and your
living.
Because
it's not even just you, it's your team as well.
This is what I'm saying, exactly. And you're doing it for, like, the entertainment of others in terms of us as fans. Mm-hmm. So, no, man.
Or to collect some bread, because it's been a while.
Much respect, man. And I just hope, obviously, everyone just remains, like, safe. And there are no, like, you know, spike in cases where we have to, like, maybe cancel a tournament or something. So
America.
Yeah, please. Please be on your best behaviour.
Yes, sir.
Social distance. What's the word I'm looking for?
Wear your mask.
Wear all the masks and all that as well.
Wear your mask.
Indeed.
Wear your mask.
So yeah, guys, I think that wraps up the latest edition. So we appreciate you listening. And
guys, don't forget to rate and subscribe. Like, please, like, I want to open, like, all of these podcast apps and just see boom boom boom, that's been global there. Do you know what I mean? If Serena is sharing the shit
indeed
on her story, that means she wants it out indeed there. So, you know, if Serena says jump, are you not gonna jump? So, you know, like, please,
I'm gonna put it out there. Serena interview coming soon. I'm putting it out there.
Yeah, amen. We're speaking to existence, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
And then you can tell your friends and your kids, like, oh, you know, I used to rate that podcast and everything. Now look, like, you know, like, so guys, just help, like, support, like, share, and keep an eye on our Twitter. A lot of us are tweeting, well, both of us are tweeting live, mainly me with my
busy
dumb stuff.
Mega busy.
Tweeting live for, you know, the black people matches, because this is a black spin global. This is an African American live only. So keep an eye on IG, Twitter, everything.
Yeah, guys, again, appreciate you all, and until next time.
Peace.